Welcome to another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos. My name is Elise Stevens, and today it's the fabulous Elizabeth Harron. Elizabeth is a fantastic project manager, but she has a girl's guide to project management, and she writes books, she gives talks, she does all kinds of things. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, I do all the things. Yeah, it's a really interesting time to be a project manager, I think.
It is. And today we're talking about something a bit different, talking about gamification.
Yes.
As it relates to projects. Now, I don't know about you, Elizabeth, but I read these articles about gamification and how we can improve project delivery and all that kind of stuff. And I go, the practical side of me goes, but how?
Well, I was in that boat too, and I've also spent quite a lot of time working with people who, you know, how when you have a workshop and the facilitator brings in those squeezy balls or silly putty or something and puts it down so that people can creatively play with their hands while they're talking and it will generate more ideas, and the people I work with kind of go, no, in the bin, just sit there, do the talking. I've had lots of experience working with people who I would say gamification perhaps wouldn't come naturally or feel like something that they wanted to be part of. So I understand the reticence, but I've been doing quite a lot of thinking and research into this. I think there are certain things. I've used it myself. As long as we kind of are clear about what we mean by gamification for projects, then I think there's certainly things that project managers can do.
So what do you mean by gamification there, Elizabeth?
I'm talking about the things, that the techniques and mechanics of games that get people engaged, because I'm all about stakeholder engagement, making sure people do the tasks we need them to do, because as a project manager, I have to get my work done through other people, and I want other people to engage with me and my project and support me, and I want to encourage them to take action. And games do that. Inbuilt into games is a way of encouraging people to continue to take steps forward. And, you know, I'm commuting to London and I see people playing Candy Crush on their phone. Games have that kind of way of drawing you in. So if we take some of the techniques and mechanics of how games work and apply them to the way that we do our projects in small ways, we're not creating massive leaderboards of our favourite stakeholders or anything, but, you know, we can take some of those techniques and use them to help people engage with the work that we're doing.
So and let's face it,
now, aren't you?
Well, yes. So one of the problems is about engagement, mm-hmm. because we all know that, you know, if you've got 10 people in the room, you know, probably half of them are on their phones looking at, you know, Candy Crush.
Not nearly at my meetings, but yes, you don't know, do you?
Yeah, no.
That's the thing. If people aren't engaged, they don't pay attention, they don't do what you want them to do, they then come back to you next week and go, oh, what did you ask me to do? I haven't done my tasks. They're not committed to delivery. So even the smallest things that we can do to help people engage with our project, to make it easy for them to work with us, to start thinking about how do we encourage them to participate, all that kind of stuff is just a bit of nudging people in the right direction to get everybody to the end goal, delivering the project.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you the tricky question, Elizabeth.
I'm ready.
Give me some examples, please.
Okay. So I should probably start by saying I think there's 5 principles of things that we can learn from game mechanics that apply to the way that we can work with our stakeholders. And you'll be surprised at how easy these things are, but how simple they will be as well. So the first thing people can do, and the first thing, the easiest thing for people to implement, taking away after they've listened to this project, is just tracking your steps and making it clear where we're going. And project managers, change professionals might be doing this already, but it's things like having a visual roadmap of your project. And if you start a game, there's a couple of games I'm playing on my iPad at the moment, and there's like a path, a journey path that shows you the different levels and where you've been and where you're going. And, oh, look, in 10 levels time, there's a special bonus thing to unlock. So you see the journey. And if we can do the same on our projects and we are tracking our progress, but doing it in a visual way, saying, you know, here are the five phases we're going through. We're here in phase two right now. We're here in phase three. We're going to this point. It's kind of a Gantt chart, but it's not the level of detail. It's more of a very visual roadmap. So we're talking about something that's on the top of a PowerPoint slide in the corner of your slide, even saying something like, this is a slide presentation. We're going through 15 slides. Put page numbers in the corner so people know where they are. A tiny change, but it helps people stay awake and they are aware of where they are in the journey so they don't switch off. So that's one thing. Does that make sense?
Very much so. And I really like that idea about having some kind of map and filling it in, kind of like the bars on a, I keep thinking of, you know, when you light up bars as you move through something.
Yes.
And, you know, and by the end of it, you know, you're looking to have 100% bars or something.
Exactly. So, you know, you could do that with, oh, I don't know, let's give you an example of how we've done it. So as well as a high-level visual map for the project, which signposts where you are, you could also send out emails. So when I've done it on projects, we've done countdown emails with engaging a community of change people who are out there in the organization who are championing the change. I've emailed them every week for the 5 weeks going to go live with 1 week to go. Obviously, you start with 5 weeks to go, 5 weeks to go, 4 weeks to go, 3 weeks to go. We're counting down. They know how many weeks. It's just putting that in the subject of the email header gives people, you know, it's a countdown. It's just numbering your emails. Even things like you just described, that filling up your bar to 100%, you could have a target on the wall. So something agile teams could do or something support teams could do. Say, okay, we're testing phase. We're going to squash 50 bugs this week, 60 bugs, whatever, and have one of those thermometers that over in the UK you used to see outside churches when they were raising money for, you know, the roof or something like that, a thermometer. And something that you can colour in and say, yeah, we made it. We got there. It's just making progress visual. So it's tracking your steps.
Well, that's a great idea.
So what else can you do? There's the next principle about is taking small steps, small actions. So what we see a lot, and I see this on Facebook specifically, it's a good example to use, is people taking small actions before you ask them to take a big one. So on Facebook, you will stop the scroll. You'll stop and you'll look at something. And Facebook knows that you've stopped the scroll and you're engaged with that piece of content. And then you might like it. Or then you might go on to share it, or you might save it, or something like that. And we can use the same principles with our stakeholders. If you ask them for something small first, it's harder for them to say no. They'll do it because it's tiny. And then later on, you're saying, now come to this one-day workshop because we've worked together before. We've had some kind of interaction, and now you're more inclined to participate in something big because I'm not asking you for the big thing first.
That's a good one because, let's face it, you send through a meeting request for a three-hour workshop and everyone just goes,
Who are you? Is this important? If you start off with something, you know, like, can I ask you a quick question? Can we get 5 minutes? Can I buy you a coffee? And then go up to, and it's part of a calculated plan to get these people to engage, but the small actions before big actions. Right. So number three I've got is creating feedback loops. So we do this in projects. We do this in change management. This is not rocket science, really, is giving people the opportunity to contribute. But games tell you how you're doing. So one of the principles that you'll see if you're playing a game is you'll get instant feedback. Did you succeed at the level? Did you not? Did you waste all your coins? Or, you know, did you throw a six and get a second go? It's visual clues about how well we're doing. And you can do the same on projects, surveys, quizzes, forms, lessons learned, all those retrospectives and things that you can discuss with your team. It's just creating the opportunity for those feedback moments. Because I think when we get pulled into projects, sometimes we forget about that kind of stuff. And suddenly we're at the end of the project or 3 months through and go, I haven't asked anyone how it's going. But if you plan for it, you're more likely to actually do it. You must see that as well on some of the projects that you work.
Oh, most definitely. And I think that that's a big thing. Like some organisations are really funny about surveys. I know. I've asked, can we just send it? No surveys. And you're like, okay.
But if you did it as a quiz, is a quiz the same as a survey if you had a prompt?
not being negative, but it's just like I think that you have to take the pulse of the organisation and work out what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think that, you know, speak to other people that have tried stuff and succeeded, and because all it takes is one success and then people are happy to replicate it.
Yes. Yes, and even things like, I mean, we use Outlook and it has voting buttons. So a small engagement, getting feedback from someone about, you know, I can send out an email and put the voting buttons that say yes, no, maybe, or the dates of meetings that they could attend, or do I think this is a good idea? No, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Yes, I want this for my team. And just get them to click a button. So it's not a survey, it's just an email in their inbox, but you still get a response. They've done something, they've engaged with you, and they've given you some feedback.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Well, that's very similar, actually, to the fourth one, which is keep it simple. Because often when you're playing a game, a new game, and I started one last night that I downloaded for free, a hidden object game on my iPad, and it's had a tutorial. So it starts with a, would you like a tutorial? Can I step you through the first three things very easily? Keep it very simple. Learn this, learn the controls. And that's what we need to do for our stakeholders as well. And I am certainly guilty of sending out one email because I don't want to send lots of emails. So I'll send one email with five things that I need them to do. That's the kind of thing that we need to stop, because one simple message per engagement is going to get you better results, because you're only asking them to do one thing, not do one thing, go back to the message, what's next? Da, da, da. So where you have got to communicate multiple things, just think carefully about how you do that, because the more simple the message, easier it is, one action at a time. And also we often assume that they know loads about our project. I had a steering group meeting with someone, my project sponsor, who I met once a month, and he started one meeting and said, look, remind me where we're going with this and what our next steps are. I think, you're the project sponsor. Why do you not know this? But it was a very small project, not a priority for him. He was busy leading change in other areas. And over the course of the month since I'd last spoken to him, he'd done nothing. He hadn't needed to do anything. We weren't waiting on him for anything. And we were going to the steering group, reporting back. But he'd totally forgotten, really. And it just, he needed that 30 seconds at the beginning of the meeting to remind him what this was all about, which was fine. Then he could join in, it jogged his memory, and we were good to go. We often assume that people have the same level of interest and engagement as we do, and we work with this stuff every day, and they might have 15 different things that they're trying to juggle. So keep it simple.
Oh yeah, I love keeping it simple, because, you know, you can craft the best message in the world, you know, Gone with the Wind, but really they just want three sentences.
Yes.
What action do they need to take? Why do they need to take it? And the next step. And it's like, okay, so I don't have to write Gone with the Wind. I just have to put these three things and everyone is happy.
Exactly. Bullet points are good. Things where you create a template and you send out the email and it just says, please answer the questions below, hit reply. And then I delete all of my signature because I've got like 10 lines of signature, which they've then got to scroll past to see the template at the bottom. And then they can just hit reply and fill in. You know, I've asked them three questions at the bottom. So often in my last role, I was often writing out to people across the business and trying to collect information in order to better inform things like, how many software licenses do we need to buy? Tell me how many users you've got in your area, where we couldn't work that out centrally. Obviously, you don't bug people for stupid things when you can work it out a different way. But when you've got lots of contractors on site or people who are perhaps not registered in the normal way, then we needed to verify the numbers. And I could just create an email that said, I have this many people in my site, :, name of person responding. That's all that they needed. And location. That's all they needed to fill in. They could hit reply, type three things in, they were done. So, you know, making it easy for people to get back to you with information.
Okay. What about Lego? Is that a game? You know, the Lego games. Can we use that on projects?
The building blocks concept of taking small things, being modular and building it up to make it something better than itself is very applicable. I think that's systems thinking, isn't it? That's having multiple parts, putting it together to create something else. But if you're thinking more like, how do you use Lego for a team building activity, then there's a good one I've done.
I was thinking more about in the flow of gamification.
Mm.
I know that. Is that a way that you can use it on projects, do you think? I don't know. I'm just asking.
You mean actual physical Lego, or do you mean
concept of
how could you do that? Well, you could. I mean, one of the things that you could do would be you get a Lego brick every time something is completed as a reward, and then you build a tower, and the team that gets the biggest tower is the winner. That's a simple game that you could do. Or the team building one we did was we created a model, put it in the corner. One person from each group had to go and look at it without touching, come back. And then the idea was that the team built a replica of that. And then we compared the models at the end to see which team had the best communication skills to be able to go and look and translate the information back and make a copy, which is not really gamification for a project, but it's a nice thing to do at the beginning of a project to help the team get to know each other a bit better.
Do you see that gamification is going to be adopted more in delivering projects? Because it can only improve the way we deliver projects.
Yes, I think it can. I mean, the final principle is just make it special, and games celebrate your wins. Celebrating success is something that we do on projects. I think probably where we're going with stakeholder engagement is that we are doing more things. We're doing fewer things better. So we're doing more of the things that work and stopping on the things that don't. And the biggest shift for project professionals at the moment is tailoring, I think, because I still am mentoring people. I'm still emailing back people who say, I had one this morning. There are 33 documents in the PMBOK guide. Can I have a template for each of them, please? I thought, well, why? Why do you need those document templates if you're just approaching your project to start from a starting position of, I must do everything that the PMBOK guide tells me? In my opinion, is fundamentally wrong. I think being able to tailor to the needs of our communities, to be able to tailor to the needs of stakeholders and the project, and we do what is efficient, because life is too short to be filling in paperwork that doesn't serve anybody. So, and gamification is about keeping things simple, doing what works, encouraging participation, and people are not encouraged by bureaucracy and pointlessness.
Oh, for sure. It annoys people and it annoys our customers too. Mm. Why are you doing this?
Because the PMO has given me a template. If you can't justify why you're doing it, I just feel that project managers, change practitioners, people who are effecting change in their organisation in a leadership position need to have more confidence in their abilities to make the right choices for them. And it's where professional judgment comes into play. Because if you are looking at something and saying, well, that doesn't really work for us, we're going to do it differently, and differently gives you a better result, great, do it differently, justify, break the rules. And if you want to do that and it doesn't give you a better result, then the culture of the organisation should be, well done for trying something new, we've learnt from that and we'll tweak it, and next time we might get a better result, but we won't replicate a mistake. What we'll do is we'll learn from that and we'll grow from it and do things better. There needs to be faster, more adaptive ways of working.
I think that sometimes I feel that project managers are getting a bit beaten down by process. Somewhere I was working recently, last year, just had the most amazing set of documents that did nothing, and you really couldn't have a conversation with the PMO that it was actually just such a waste of time, and you know how much money it cost, and you had the business going, why are our projects costing so much? Had yet to find that moment of being able to entice the PMO that they needed to change.
It's a hard conversation when they have come from a very traditional background or they've been told to do things in a certain way. To have the freedom to be able to say, you know, games often have several different paths that you can go through. So do you want, I mean, some of them are very linear, like going through the levels on this one I started yesterday, but on a hidden object game, which I'm currently playing, you can go off and do the puzzle over on this screen, or you could go down this other path. And okay, there's a point where you can't just do anything you want, although there are games like Minecraft where you can pretty much do whatever you want. And that flexibility to be adaptive to the situation that you find yourself in and to do more of what works is something we need to take into the workplace, because it's just better, more interesting, more effective.
Yeah, and I think that we do need to be more adaptable, dare I say, more agile thinking, beam thinking. I'll just throw a few buzzwords around. You've really got to watch your language when you're talking about these things and always put it in terms. Like, you know, years ago I just would have been like, yeah, this is terrible because everyone's back just gets up.
Yes. No, you have to approach things in taking small steps to make a change rather than going in and saying, why have you got these 20 rubbish documents? What's the point?
Do we really need the 33 PMBOK templates?
And some projects probably do, but not all projects will definitely do. And that's where the level of professional judgment comes into play, and being able to edit the things that we've got. So maybe some things in those documents that you're, that the place you're working at had, perhaps some of it is valuable. But if you could pick and choose the pieces that you wanted to use rather than blindly just follow it all in, fill it all in. And then that gives us so much more time to do the stuff that really matters to people, like the stakeholder engagement, working with the teams, and you're less about, have you done this task this week? I need to update my schedule. Or, you know, I need this information for my quality plan that no one's going to read apart from me. You know, you just have to ask yourself, what's the point? I'm not anti-process and I'm not anti-documentation, but it needs to be applied in the right way.
But I think the key thing is that gamification hopefully makes it a bit more fun, because let's face it, sometimes, you know, projects are high stress, no fun.
Yes.
Right? You know, you're coming to work, you might be dealing with angry, difficult stakeholders, customers. You've got a team that might be on the point of rebellion. People are stealing resources from you left, right, and center. I'm painting a picture here, right?
Of course, you've never been in that situation.
Oh, no.
But you're right. It just is more fun. I mean, and there's things that you can do. Like, we've done quizzes. With the GDPR project, which was kind of a big headache at the time, we had change leads from all over the organization and we tested their knowledge with a quiz, and there was a box of chocolates for the winner. And we did it with an online app, which was free, really easy. But because they'd not done that kind of interaction before, it's far better than trying to give them something on a piece of paper or make it feel like a quiz. It felt like a game because they were doing it on their phones.
Well, look, let's face it, you know, sending out a business readiness checklist in Excel versus having something fun on an app that's a bit more fun to use is a lot better. And you've got to take in the sensibilities of the organization, because people are like, and, you know, people's usual first reaction to change is
scary, don't want to go there.
Yeah. But if you can find something that is not an Excel spreadsheet or SurveyMonkey or something like that to try and entice people to share, am I ready for this change, which is just an example, is a good thing, I think. So Elizabeth, top tip for gamification?
Well, I think as we've been going through the podcast and I've been talking about principles and things, I've given quite a few small examples of things that you could go away and do. I suppose my top tip would be, think about it, pick one thing and try it next week. So I'll give you a few reminders of what we talked about. Think about, could you use a quiz? Think about, when was the last time you did, you actively asked for feedback? Make sure that your emails only ask for one action at a time, and look at ways that you could create a visual timeline to show the progress through the journey. So pick one of those, try it on your project with your team next week, when you're back in the office, and see how it goes.
That's a good top tip. I think my top tip is to be open in thinking about different ways to new approaches, because sometimes we can get stuck. I've always done it like this, especially if you work in the same organisation for many, many projects, and so you get into the swing, you understand the organisation, but sometimes you might be able to see new ways of doing things.
That's a great tip.
Well, Elizabeth, as always, fabulous to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Great. And that ends another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos.